parsha, Parshas Va'era, has so much going on. The story of all of the Makos that we read about and Moshe Rabbeinu is negotiating. Amazing stories, but one of the very important halachos that emerges from this week's parsha is learned from Makas Barad. And that is when we're told that Moshe Rabbeinu is requested by Paro that he go out and he be mispalo, that he daven that Makas Barad, that the hail should stop, that the tragedy should be coming to an end. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, Vayomer Elav Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu responds, Kitseisi es ha'ir, when I leave the city of Mitzrayim, Efros es kapai el Hashem. When I leave the city of Mitzrayim, I will lift up my hands to Hashem. Now, number one, the Mefarshim point out, and I don't have a satisfactory answer to this question. Moshe Rabbeinu on many occasions was asked to daven on behalf of Paro and Mitzrayim that the tragedy should end, that the Makos should be coming to a conclusion. And yet, we don't find this Lashon of Efros es Kapai. What does it mean? Moshe Rabbeinu says he's going to lift his hands. It seems to be an unusual way of tefillah. It seems to be something that is extreme, that is more intense than a usual tefillah that he offers. So let's say you take, for example, I was looking through the Psukim. In this week's parsha, we read about Makas Sephardeya. That was one of the earlier Makos in which we read, Lemasai atir lachav la'avadecho la'amecha la'achris ha'tzvardim. He says, when will you go out? When will Moshe Rabbeinu be finding the time to go outside and to be mispalel on behalf of all the Egyptians that the Makas Tzvardeya should end? And Moshe Rabbeinu in the end goes out, Vayitzak Moshe al Hashem al dvar ha'tzvardim. He goes out and he petitions God and he says, you punished them enough, and now let's give him another chance and stop having this terrible plague, and it's time to move on. But there we don't find a mention of Efros es Kapai. We don't find that he does this intense, this extreme variation of tefillah. We find by Makos Arov, once again, V'hatarti el Hashem v'sar ha'arov. Moshe Rabbeinu promises Paro Melech Mitzrayim that he will go out and he will daven to Hashem and he will get rid of the Arov. And in fact, we're told, Vayetze Moshe me'im Paro, he walks out of the palace, he walks out of the presence, Vayetar el Hashem, and he does as he promised, he does as he assured Paro, and he davens. And finally, we find by Makas Arbe as well, by the locust, where Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayetze Moshe me'im Paro, Vayetar el Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu once again goes out and he simply offers a tefillah, which is strange that suddenly over here by Makas Barad we see Moshe Rabbeinu goes above and beyond. Vayetar, not only does he daven, but it says that Vayifros es kapav, he raises his hands. I don't have a satisfactory answer, but there's some reason why Barad seemed to be more extreme than some of the other Makos. And yet, just parenthetically as an aside, Rabbi Kiva Eger in Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Be'er Sheva. A very fascinating comment, and that is, it seems to be that back in the days of the Avos HaKadoshim, back in the days of the Gemara, people used to daven b'prisas kapayim. People used to daven with their hands outstretched. That was like a way. Sometimes you see people in the middle of Shemona Esrei stick up their hands. That was the way people normally daven. Then the Be'er Sheva writes, min arai tamati, from a young age I've been wondering, lama ein anu noagim lehispalel bizkifas yodayim lemala. Why don't we daven like that anymore? Really, that was the way the Avos daven. As he proves, Kemosha Nagu Avosena Meyolam, Kemosha Nemar, like it says, Hari Mosi Yada Yalel Yon. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I lifted up my hands in tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and I petitioned him. And in Parshas Chayisar it says, Vatisa Rivka Aseinah, Rivka lifts up her eyes, Vateres Yitzchak, and she sees Yitzchak is davening, Vaisa B'medrash, and the Medrash says, Yado Shatach B'tefillah, that Yitzchak Avinu is standing there with his hands outstretched. How did Rivka know he was davening? He could have been talking to somebody else, he could have been speaking, but she saw him with his hands up to heaven. That was a clear signal that obviously he was davening. V'namar, and it says in our parsha, Kitseisi es ha'ir efros es kapai l'Hashem. Once again, we find the Gemara Rosh Hashanah tells us, Kasha yarim Moshe yado v'gavar Yisrael. When Moshe Rabbeinu had his hands up, that was the time when the Jewish people were successful in battle against their enemies. So all these different sources seem to indicate that this is the way davening used to take place. People used to not only offer a tefillah with their mouths, they didn't only express themselves in words, but they also used to do some sort of activity along with it. They used to raise their hands, and therefore he says, from a young age I've been wondering, based on all the psukim, all the stories of the Avos HaKadoshim, why don't we do the same thing? So he answers, and he says, Me'achar she'hanachrim asu l'chok l'hispalakach, since the non-Jews picked up our custom, and now they offer their prayers in that fashion, now they raise up their hands like that, lachach ein anu nagim achshav. Therefore, we have ceased to do that, because we're concerned we shouldn't look like them, which is very strange, because if it originated by us, and they took it from us, that's not really b'chukoseim lo seilechu. The Shulchan Aruch says, if we had a practice, and it just happens to be a nice practice, and now they picked it up, it doesn't make it an isra b'chukoseim lo seilechu. So I don't think he means that it's b'chukoseim lo seilechu, he just means if that's the way they pray, so it's not proper that we should pray that way any longer. And he proves it that we find also in Chumash that we're told, Lo sakim lachamat seva, we're told, do not set up a certain specific kind of altar. The Ramban writes, what is the difference between a matseva and a mizbeach? How do you know which one is okay and which one is not? So the Ramban on Chumash and Sefer Dvarim, I think, writes that a matseva is something that is made out of one slab of stone, and a mizbeach is one that is made out of a collaboration of many stones together. So we are told in Chumash, Lo sakim lacha matseva asher sanei Hashem elokecha. Don't erect a matseva to offer karbanos, even though you have very good intentions, you're not allowed to do it. But we find by the Yavos they did it, and we find that in earlier generations it was done, so how come we don't do it any longer? And there, once again, we're told, because that is what the non-Jews picked up the practice of the Jews, and therefore we no longer choose to do that kind of ritual because we don't want to look like them, even though it may have started in our religion. So that's a very interesting point that comes by the wayside. It's not really clear why it should be usher, but it seems when it comes to tefillah, we want to make sure that we are distinct, that we're different. We offer a tefillah in the way we do. Back to the story, Moshe Rabbeinu goes out from Paro, and he says, Kitseisi es ha'ir, when I leave the city, Efros es kapai el Hashem. I will lift up my hands once I leave the city, and once I do that and I offer my tefillah, everything is going to stop. Leman teida ki la Hashem ha'aretz. In order that you should know that God is the one who runs the land, and it's not until I offer a tefillah to Him and I petition Him to stop, that is when He is going to stop the plague from happening. But until that time, everything's going to continue, you're going to continue to suffer, and this will not be over. So all the Mefarshim on Chumash, all the Rishonim are bothered. Why does Moshe Rabbeinu have to go outside of the city? Kitseisi es ha'ir? Why can't he just go outside of the Palace of Power like he did at every other occasion, every other Makkah? Why does he have to go outside of the city to daven that the Makkah should stop? So I think the Chizkuni, some of the Rishonim write, that the answer is because Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to show, I'm not afraid of the borough, look at me, I can go outside and I can walk out to the city, I'm not going to rush to get rid of this, I'm not afraid, I know God will take care of me, I can walk out right in the middle of the open field and nothing's going to happen, and that's where I'll offer my tefillah. Even if it takes me an extra hour to get out there, I have no problem at all. All kinds of suggestions are given. Okay. What?
You want the people to see it, you can walk in the borough, when you hit them, as right.
Correct. That's what he was showing. Nothing's going to happen to me, even though you're all suffering. That's what some Rishonim say. Different suggestions are given, but the most famous of the suggestions is what Rashi writes on Chumash in the name of the Medrash. And Rashi tells us very famously, which is a very important halacha, it's quoted in the Ramban Hilchos Tefillah, the Beis Yosef has it as well, that Moshe Rabbeinu chose not to daven in the city itself. And why is that? Because betocha ir lo haya mispala lefisha haisa melea gilulim. Because the city was filled with Avodah Zarah. Now, why is it referred to as Gilulim? Galal means the excrement of an animal. So, it seems that that is the way the Gemara refers to, that's the way the Medrash refers to Avodah Zarah, that to us, it is repulsive, to us, it's disgusting, and that's why we refer to it as Galal, as the lowest of the low. One second. So it says that Moshe Rabbeinu goes outside of the city. Why couldn't he offer a tefillah in the city itself? Because it was filled with Avodah Zarah, and a person is not allowed to daven in a place that is filled with Avodah Zarah. You have to go somewhere else. And this is what the Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Tefillah, in the name of the Trumas HaDeshen, that based on this, we have to make sure when we go and we visit an inn of a Nachri. Now, it's not so relevant today because we don't generally assume that when you go to a hotel, it's serving as a base Avodah Zarah. But back in the times of Chazal, they used to have, back in the times of the Ramah as well, when they used to have non-Jewish hotels, they had many different religious items in the room, not just the cross. Cross doesn't really have a religious significance that is so special, but they had real Avodah Zarah, and therefore, says the Ramah in the name of the Trumas HaDeshen, one has to be careful not to daven in such a place, because that is a bayis hamiyuchad Avodah Zarah, that is a place that is set aside, that has Avodah Zarahs in it. And we learned from Moshe Rabbeinu that one is not allowed to offer a tefillah in a place which is Malay Avodah Zarah, which is a very important halacha. A very common question that we get very often is, sometimes a person goes to a hospital, and in the hospital you don't always have a comfortable place to daven, and you don't always want to daven in the room with the patient. It might not be the right time, it might wake them, it might disturb them. So you want to go outside, but to daven in the hallway is also not proper. You're going to be disturbed yourself, and you're going to be in people's way. It's not really the right thing to do either. So very often people will go downstairs, and in the lobby they usually have a room which is an interdenominational chapel. It's a room that's set aside in the hospital for all religions to pray in. And people often ask this question, do we have a right to offer a tefillah in that room or not? I've asked this question, not only have I asked it, but I myself have participated in minyanim, with both my father and Rav Asher Weiss on separate occasions in two different hospitals where there was no other place to daven, and we went into that room, and they both felt that there's nothing wrong with it at all. Because again, that's a room that's set aside just to have quiet and privacy, that a person has the ability to just offer their prayer the way they would like to without being interrupted. It doesn't mean that it has a religious significance. It doesn't mean it's a base of Avodah Zarah. Yes, it might be true. The next minion that comes in will say their own prayers and daven to their own God, but it doesn't take away from our ability to offer our own tefillah, which is the catalyst of a major question that broke out about 50 years ago after the Israeli army was successful in capturing Hebron. We know that we just celebrated Yom Yerushalayim, the 50th year, but Yerushalayim was not the only thing captured 50 years ago. Hebron once again came under Jewish sovereignty, and that was something that became available to us. And the question was, at that time, are we in fact even allowed to daven in the Ma'ar HaMachpelah? Maybe we don't have a right to go in. Why shouldn't we have a right to go in? Because for hundreds of years, the Ma'ar HaMachpelah served as a base of Avodah Zarah. For hundreds of years, the Ma'ar HaMachpelah served as a shrine, not a shrine, it served as a mosque, it served as a place of worship for the Muslims, and that is something that they held in very high regard. Maybe that should be off limits for us. This was a major discussion at the time, 50 years ago. Should we even allow Jews to daven there? And in fact, the Stipler is quoted as saying, he was uncomfortable davening in the Ma'ar HaMachpelah. Can you imagine? We clamor to get into the Ma'ar HaMachpelah. We want to daven by the Avos, and the Stipler felt it's more proper to daven on the steps because he said, I don't want to get involved. Based on the story by Moshe Rabbeinu, we're taught that you're not allowed to daven in a base Avodah Zarah. And strangely enough, he said, it could be that they had the ability to turn it into a base Avodah Zarah, even though it was our home, even though we bought it with our own money. It was Avram Avinu's. He gave it down to his children. It could be that it then switched to become a base Avodah Zarah, and now it is considered off limits to us. Obviously, that is not the accepted opinion at all. Obviously, we all go whenever we can to daven at Kivrei Tzadikim, including the Ma'ar HaMachpelah, but it's fascinating that this was the discussion and it emanated from the story of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now the question that many Mefarshim ask is, if we find that Moshe Rabbeinu was offering a tefillah for many of the plagues, for many of the makos to be taken away, to be suspended, why is it that only here, on this occasion of Makas Bara, do we find that Moshe Rabbeinu says, I cannot daven inside of the city, there's too much of a desire here, I have to go outside into the fields. What about when you daven by Makas Arov? What about when you daven by Makas Tzfardeya? You didn't seem to have a problem then. Everybody was roaming around, Avodah Zarahs were all over the place, and you had no problem offering a tefillah in the city. All of a sudden, when it comes to Makas Bara, now you say, I got to go out of the city to offer the tefillah. What is unique about Makas Bara? So, one of the very amusing answers that is given is by the Chanukah Satorah. He was the Rebbe of the Shach, the Rebbe of Heschel, who is very famous for his incredibly sharp comments that he has throughout Chumash. And he writes the following. He says, if you think about Egyptian culture, what was the Avodah Zarah of their day? Which Avodah Zarah did they practice? So he writes that the Psukim tell us, Kitov is Mitzrayim kol ro'etzon. Why did the Egyptians hate anybody who used to graze with the sheep, who used to be a shepherd of sheep? The answer is because that was their God. The sheep is what they served. This is the reason why, by Karban Pesach, it was a tremendous Mesiras Nefesh for the Jews to take a sheep. They were going to get killed. This was something that was against the culture of the mother country of Mitzrayim. And therefore, since the sheep are what they worshipped, normally where do sheep spend their time? Outside of the city, they're grazing in the fields. Moshe Rabbeinu, by the other Makos, knew, all the sheep are out in the fields. I have no problem to offer a tefillah here. This is not Malei Avodah Zarah. The sheep are out in the fields. I could daven within the city. At this occasion, and specifically here by Makas Barad, he writes, where the Torah tells us, Hayari es dvar Hashem me'avde paro. Anyone who took God seriously knew, you got to bring your sheep in. Don't leave them out in the fields. If we leave them out in the fields, they're going to get killed from the hail. Moshe Rabbeinu says, on this occasion, when everybody brought the sheep back into the place, back into the city, and now they're all back home, now the city is off limits. Now, specifically, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Kitsesi Asayir, on this occasion, specifically of Makas Barad, now I have to go outside of the city to offer my tefillah because I no longer have the opportunity to offer it within the city because now the city became a base of Avodah Zarah, now it became filled with all of the Egyptian idols, and that is something that disqualifies a place for a tefillah being offered. So this is just a very important halacha that emanates from our parsha. As we said, it is something that has important nafkaminas lahalacha that come up every so often. And one has to be aware that when you have a makom hamatunaf, when you have a base of Avodah Zarah or something of that nature, a tefillah certainly is not allowed to be offered under those circumstances, but one has to know what might be considered a base of Avodah Zarah and what perhaps might not. Reb Hanani ben Akasha Omer.